grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Благословен так бардзо укал свят за из-за свего, джез него семья, а векатски, питом него вечни, нерсетнё, але неотсетские вечни. Utosgar ega enesen o Deus to kosmon hoste ton huion ton manogenein edelkin hinanas o testuo ex auto un apoletai al exe zoe aionion. Try this one. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que dio a su hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que cree en él no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Also hat Gott die Welt geliebt, dass seinen eingeborenen Sohn gab, auf dass alle, die an ihm glauben, nicht verloren werden, sondern das eigene Leben haben. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you did was just heard that verse in Polish, Biblical, Greek, Spanish, German, and English. Well, some of it sounds familiar. Hey, the Spanish one, Ellie, did you get that one?
No.
Okay. You know, but the thing is, that is one of the most important verses in the Bible. In fact, probably it's the most important verse. All right, so if it's not in your language, does it have meaning? We don't understand it. Well, let's take a look, first of all, at the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis. The name for this comes from the Hebrew word Babel, which actually means and named the Babylonian Empire. That's where the word comes from. Babel in Hebrew means confusion. So when we look at the word Babel, El means God, that name actually means the confusion of God. Yeah, it's one of those, I know that you've never heard that before. But since Iraq is ancient Babylon, and it's the confusion of God, sure seems appropriate, doesn't it? Because they sound awfully confused. Well, I think what we are looking at in the story today is man's arrogance and his hubris. Okay? His pride. Both arrogance and pride really are not good, are they? So God deals with this by taking away their common language and makes it so people cannot talk with each other. And this is the situation for centuries. Let's look at this story and review just a bit. So Jesus is resurrected. And Jesus spends 40 days with the apostles, and then he ascends into heaven. We just celebrated that 2 weeks ago. Then we had a week and a half, another 9 days for the apostles to be by themselves. So where were they? Well, they're locked in that upper room again. But not because they were scared this time. Remember when Jesus first appeared to them, didn't know what they're going to do, so they locked themselves up in that room so that the police couldn't come get them. Well, the confusion comes for them too. What do we do now? Jesus has ascended into heaven and we're left. Then that wind comes upon them. And I want to talk about this for a second. In Greek, the Holy Spirit is Agios Pneumas. Agios. That's holy. Okay. How many of you gentlemen here have ever used a pneumatic drill? What's it work on?
Air.
Air. All right. In Greek, pneumas, pneumatic, means breath. Right. So the Holy Spirit is the holy breath of God. How many of you have ever heard that before? A couple of you. Okay. So that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, because it's the breath of God coming upon the people. And then a sound like a huge wind coming out of heaven came into that room. God breathed on them. So the Spirit of God, the breath of God, came onto the apostles and also came onto us. Now, we usually think about the little tongues of fire on top of their heads. We always see pictures of that on Pentecost. Is it scriptural? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yeah, it is there. So we're talking not only the little tongues of fire, but the breath of God coming upon them. So at this point, God takes care of the apostles and gives them direction, and he gives them meaning. Well, it's easy to see that the Spirit of God's with them, because it shows up on their heads, right? Okay, I don't see those little tongues of fire on your heads. Okay, Priscilla just pointing like this. Okay, but we know the Holy Spirit is with us, don't we? Okay, and we know that the Holy Spirit is in here. So the shining power of the breath of God is a visible means. So I started today's sermon with that central message of Christianity. So God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the King James one, because I like that one. Well, that's a great message, isn't it? If you speak English. Now, Peggy and I have been very blessed to have worked with the Gideons in Cincinnati, and I've been invited to work with the Gideons here. We've also worked with Lutheran Bible translators. Both of those groups have worked unceasingly to get the Word of God out to people in their own languages. How many different versions of the Bible or languages are there? Hundreds. Okay, anybody else have another guess? Anybody want to try? 1,200 thousands. As of right now, 3,312 different translations of the Bible. The Bible has actually, I heard when I was doing my research for this, the Bible has been translated into Klingon. That is. Why? Well, it's one of those things. But it's important that when we look at translations, that the Bible's in the name and the word of the people. All right, Pastor Coley, we haven't met him, but he's back in this country, and he is talking about coming down here. And if he does, I'm going to have him preach to you on a Sunday. They use the old Lutheran, it's the blue hymnal of the Missouri Synod, the Lutheran hymnal. And you know, it's interesting, because you can go to that church and you're worshiping in English using the same words we use here. I had a brother from the seminary. His name is Pastor William Botang. He could speak 16 different African languages, as well as English, French, Spanish, and Arabic. Now, he was Zulu, okay? Instead about, what, 6'5", Peggy? And maybe weighed 130 pounds. But his wife was a lawyer. He is one of the most. He teaches now at the seminary in Ghana, Lutheran Seminary. But William is one of the most brilliant men I ever worked with. His area specialty is the Old Testament. He could keep or hold his own with the Old Testament profs at the seminary. And he was working on his Master of Sacred Theology, because he was already a pastor. But you know, you run across people like this. He could speak 16 different languages, African languages. Why? So when he went and talked to people, he could speak to them in their own tongues. I've told you the story of the two Lutheran pastors that were on the Cherokee Nation, but I'm going to do it again. And the thing is they were working with people in the Cherokee Nation, people didn't speak English very well. So there was a Native American pastor and an Anglo pastor, Missouri Synod, okay? The Anglo pastor, who means a white guy, okay, taught the catechism in Cherokee. And as they were driving out, the Native American pastor said, "Hey, that was a great Bible study." He said, "I didn't know you spoke Cherokee." He says, "What do you mean? I don't speak Cherokee." He said, "You just taught an entire catechism lesson in Cherokee." "But I don't speak Cherokee." He couldn't. But the Holy Spirit let him speak Cherokee. You know, we talk about the things that happen in the Bibles, especially in the second chapter of Acts. Well, that was back then. It doesn't happen now. Yes, it happens now. You know, there's many times I hear this kind of thing, especially people that say I speak in tongues. Well, if nobody understands what you're saying, are you really speaking in tongues? So when I hear two pastors that are involved with this, and one speaks in a language that can get across to people, what a blessing and what a miracle that is of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. You know, this message is important for us today because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit will use us as He sees fit. You know, let's talk theology, okay? Theo, God, ology, study of. It's a study of God. I teach it so that you can understand it. Because if I used a lot of these words, like when Pastor Tony and I talked, or if you were here for our Bible study Wednesday, hurry. Okay. Huh? Oy. No, that's Yiddish. Oy vey. I could always tell when my grandmother was mad because she spoke Yiddish. But part of the thing is that when we talk theology, there is, well, let me use this for an example. Okay, vicarious atonement. You ever heard that term before? I've used it, okay? Yeah, vicarious thrills. I mean, somebody else is getting their thrills for you. Okay, vicarious means you stand in the place of. So Jesus stood in the place of us, vicarious. Okay, that's why a Lutheran pastor, when he's out practicing, is called a vicar, because he's standing in the place of the pastor. Atonement. Atonement was earned on the cross. Jesus paid that price. So vicarious atonement is how Jesus died on the cross. Well, we use it as a shorthand as pastors. When I say vicarious atonement, we all know what we're talking about. But when you're talking to the people, most of the time I could say that and I'd get this kind of thing. So we just say Jesus died on the cross for us. But that's the thing is, folks, there is language, and I could use it here, that would be so far over your heads that you would say, "What?" And that's in English. Okay? See what I'm getting at? So the thing is, if you're not using the words of the people, it becomes tough. All right. Gene Meninga. Did I do it right for a change?
Yes.
All right, good. She and I play Words of Friends. And we both have a tremendous vocabulary. I beat her, she beats me, we have a lot of fun. But that's why we have a lot of fun, is because we're able to use our vocabularies. Well, let's face it. If you ever look, for example, you ever look at a Russian dictionary, it's about this thick. How big is Webster's? Okay? That's because English has so many different words than a lot, you can say more things. But there's also some things that you can only say in another language, especially if you've ever... how many of you took French in school? Did you ever translate verbatim what some of those idioms are? They're dirty as heck. But they don't mean that in French. Okay? So it's the thing is that when we look at a language, languages have idiosyncrasies. I just pointed out to Pastor Tony today, when God comes down for the Tower of Babel, it says, "Let us go down." Let us go down. It's one of those things, the Trinity is in the Old Testament. But how many of you saw that when you read that? And that's the thing, but isn't he there? It's one of those things that we could really discuss, but, you know, it's one of those things. How many of you saw the movie, The Book of Eli, with Denzel Washington? One. Two. It's an interesting movie. Yeah, it's R-rated. Sometimes that's not good, but I like the premise of it. Story of the movie is this. Denzel Washington has got this book that he carries with him. There has been a huge war, and the United States is gone, okay? Most of the people, there's no food, you know, people are cannibals, this kind of thing. Everything fell apart. Somebody gets to wind that that book that he's carrying is the Bible. The Bible was said to be the problem of this, and they were all destroyed. Okay? He's got the last copy of the Bible. And so the story of this is that the bad guy, who's played by Gary Oldman, is trying to get this Bible. And finally he does. He gets the Bible. And he's sitting there, and he's going to open it up and read the Bible. And opens up, and it's in Braille. He can't read it. So, in the thing in the movie is Denzel and the gal that's with him, is Mila Kunis. They're trying to get to the West Coast because there is a print shop that's still in the United States. It's on the Alcatraz Island. So they finally get there. Okay. And Denzel Washington had the Bible memorized. Now he's been wounded and things, but he writes out the entire Bible, and the Bible is printed. Again, the King James Version. You know, it's, I think, a very good story about the fact the Word of God lives no matter what somebody tries to do to destroy it. It lives. And people were hungry for it. And that's one of the reasons that movie, I think, is pretty good. If we do not live by the Word, and if it's not in our language, will we keep it? No. And I think that's what the story of Babel is, and how Jesus and the Holy Spirit rectify the problem that happened when man got arrogant and prideful. He gave them the power of speech so they could talk to other people. So Jesus tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he has prepared a place for us in heaven. All we have to do is believe and have faith, don't we? And we'll be saved on that last day. My friends, this word of God, may it be written on your hearts and help you live this word day by day. And may this word of God help you keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, so that whosoever believeth in him shall not die but have everlasting life. Amen.